This is Ozarks at Large. For months, state workforce officials and business leaders have been working to change how job training in Arkansas could be improved to meet industry demands for available jobs rumored to be in the tens of thousands. So why are nearly 86,000 Arkansans still unemployed? Recently, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business and Politics discussed the possible obstacles to job growth in the state with Grant Tenniel, the director of the Arkansas Economic Development Commission, and Randy Zook, the CEO of the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce.
Randy, you helped orchestrate a meeting this past week at the governor's mansion. It was off limits to us reporters. We understand. That's fine. But you did put out some information afterwards on it. Organizing about 40, 45 business leaders, the governor, and the workforce cabinet. Tell me what the point of the meeting was and what do you think came out of it?
Roby, these were people who are actively, daily engaged in operating manufacturing plants across the state. They came from every region in the state. It was a terrific cross-section of Arkansas manufacturers, and the subject was helping the governor, or the purpose was to help the governor and his workforce cabinet understand the dimensions of the workforce shortage crisis that we're facing. It's more acute in some industries versus others, but it's pretty much across the board in terms of manufacturing needs.
Grant, did you, the governor, the workforce cabinet, is this a message you haven't heard before, or did it just seal the deal in terms of helping you guys understand what the real problems are?
It absolutely reinforced what we have been hearing anecdotally as we've moved through the state and talked to various manufacturers and communities about what their issues are. The best thing that, from our perspective, I think came out of it was that we were consistently hearing the same things from people. We know we've got challenges. We know in some cases our challenges are at crisis level, but fortunately, there weren't any surprises. We are on the right track toward how to fix this. It was really a lot about building the will.
What's broken and what needs to be fixed? I think just is there a simplified way to state what the problem is and what needs to be done to fix it?
Well, back up and look at the causal factors. Part of this is structural. We have a workforce, and this is not a peculiar to Arkansas problem. This is a national problem. We have a workforce that's aging. We have over 10,000 people a day reaching full retirement age across the country. So this starts to have a sort of a corrosive effect on the level and the quality of the workforce, because these people who are retiring are highly skilled, very experienced employees. Many of them have been in the same businesses, the same plants for years. And that's a wealth of experience and skill that just walks out the door at retirement. So it's a matter of replacing them, filling in behind them, but it's also a matter of adding badly needed skills in technical areas mostly to expand the capacity of our industry.
So what's the state's role in fixing this problem, and what is business's role in fixing this problem?
I think business's role is to step up and communicate what they need very, very clearly. And the state's role is to be responsive. You know, as Randy's pointed out, we've got a gap both in people, numbers of people, and in the skills that those people have. And one of our challenges is to introduce or reintroduce the concept that a career in manufacturing can be fulfilling and lucrative.
How lucrative?
Well, it depends on the specialty within a plant. It depends on the nature of the business. But it's not unusual at all to see people in manufacturing plants on hourly wage scales making six figures. This is not unheard of at all. And high five figures is very normal. The average nationally for manufacturing jobs is nearly $60,000 a year. Well, you get into technical areas like industrial maintenance and tool and die people and robotic specialists, all these high-tech areas that are evolving in these plants. And these are very lucrative jobs with wonderful benefits attached, wonderful career opportunities. You can work your way up these situations or in these plants, work your way up through a series of jobs all the way to top management levels.
there's obviously a need for coordination between two-year schools, maybe four-year schools, mm-hmm. certainly high schools, with businesses that have some of these available jobs that need to fulfill some of these workforce needs. You and I know, you guys are politically savvy enough to know that there's fiefdoms, there's people that are resistant to change, and it is not going to be easy to shift some things that need to be shifted from a policy perspective to make this system work better. Do we need a workforce czar, someone who has the political muscle and the green light to make it happen, to steamroll this thing, or do you think it is something that can work itself out through compromise in the political process?
I think we've got the will among the workforce cabinet agencies, and certainly at the leadership level, we are in lockstep. I hesitate to introduce new bureaucracy to anything. I think that the next governor can serve ably as the workforce czar as long as he makes his priorities very clear to his cabinet level directors and commits to knocking down any barriers that might crop up. I think that one of our challenges right now is the communication between the policymakers at the 10,000 foot level and the people on the ground locally, and I think that's where the real meat of this problem lies.
A benevolent dictator, a workforce czar, do we need one?
Depends on how fast you want things to get better.
Well, fast, I think.
Fast, I think it would be a very smart move to perhaps not put somebody in a new role, but assign a role that at a very high level within the governor's staff or the governor himself.
Randy Zook is the CEO of the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce, and Grant Tenniel is the director of the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. They recently spoke with Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business and Politics. Support for Talk Business and Politics on Ozarks at Large is provided by AT&T, challenging drivers to take the pledge to never text and drive. No text is worth the risk. More information at itcanwait.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com.
And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability, from the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road. The Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. Coal, oil, natural gas, hydropower, and renewables. More at AECC.com. And the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com.